the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Sherry and I were just talking about, and I know this isn't like the hot topic right now. It's supposed to be talking about the Winter Olympics or the even still Super Bowl commercials from a few days ago. But Sherry and I are talking about the Old Testament. And I know this, like, for all the foibles that I have and my selfish nature and everything, I would not have done what all those Israelites did.
In what way?
Complaining about the manna.
Oh, then, yeah.
So God sends food that's just on the ground in the morning. Just pick it up. It's, you don't have to go to the grocery store. It was better than that. So that they would just stop complaining and they'd have it was a blessing. And the way the Bible describes this food, it's basically like honey O's or something, honey O's. Like it's wafers with a little honey twist and they're crunchy. I would never have gotten tired of that. That's like, that's the one thing I got going for me is I don't, if I find something I like it, I don't get tired of it.
So it's not that it would have you would have been conquering your selfish nature or complaining.
No.
It's
no.
I like this.
I would have been the only one that's just like, hey, you guys.
I like it.
I think, this is good again. Maybe you've heard this before. Some people will say this when it comes to religious stuff. They will say, well, yeah, you have your religion. You have your belief in God. That's to comfort you and give you a sense of control. Because you're kind of at a simple stage of development. We're further along in the development, but you need it so that you can feel like you're in control of the of your surroundings and stuff. And that's what religion is for. It's like superstition gives you a sense. You know, the exact opposite is true. Like, if from a Christian standpoint, like the idea that, well, it's so that you think you can live a good life and then good things will happen to you. Like, that's not what Christianity teaches at all. For example, I give you as an example, Jesus,
right,
who lives a perfect life and
is executed by the government.
Right. Mocked, persecuted, abandoned by his friends, penniless, does not succeed. So how is that possible? I know I can live a good life. Let's say I could live a good life. That would not guarantee me comfort in the world or success. It doesn't. That is not a Christian idea. In fact, it may guarantee me martyrdom. So that idea that, oh, now I'm in control. No, not at all. It just means I trust God. That's what it means. We call it the Honesty Cafe. We just want you to be honest. It's so interesting when people are actually vulnerable and honest. So we sit in this awesome cafe. This cafe has swinging doors, by the way. And Grover, a team of Grovers comes through them. I love this place.
It's unique.
Anyway, people called about something we were talking yesterday. I just find this honesty so refreshing. But maybe you can relate to this. This is what people called and told us. If they have people who love them the most, correct them on something and say, hey, here's an area of your character you need to improve. Here's what it would be. And again, these just people call in, and it definitely had a theme to it.
But I am controlling and opinionated kind of at the same time. I speak my mind about things that maybe, you know, others don't go with, and I need to be in control. Like, I need to make sure everything's clean and organized and things go my way, and I'm not very good at giving on that, so that's something I'm working on.
I correct people. My biggest character flaw is I correct people all the time. How to pronounce something, the better way to say something. I'm doing it way too much all the time, and my husband calls me on it, but I don't seem to be able to stop.
I tend to control things, like a lot of women, but I'm definitely one of them. So they always say, you know, girl, you really need to be working on not trying to control so much.
I think it's so interesting. Of course, guys can be controlling too. I do think this particular challenge for women, especially people who are moms.
Yeah, because you have so much going on and you want it to all, the responsibility feels like it's all on you.
Yeah, and you're hyper aware of surroundings and atmosphere and trying to make sure. And then you're actually trying to correct a couple people in your life. It's hard not to just
do it everywhere with everyone.
I think that's a real challenge. That's hard. It's time for an apology. If you don't mind, I'd like to have Sherry apologize for something.
So it's my apology, not your time for my apology.
Yeah,
for
just
what?
Trying to really get honest and vulnerable about how when I played on the accordion, Mm-hmm. We did a karaoke bit thing, and then
yeah,
it was Living on a Prayer.
Oh, the Bon Jovi,
Bon Jovi.
Sure,
you,
yeah.
I think felt, made it, I think you made it fairly clear that it wasn't up to broadcast standards. And so,
well,
and
I said it worked out at the end.
Yeah. So here's a call we got, and I find this fascinating. It ministered to people.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that our family is stuck watching a train in front of us at a train stop. And anyway, so we were listening to the Brant Hansen show, and the Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer accordion rendition came on, and we absolutely loved it. So keep on doing fun stuff like that. Obviously, you're promoting the gospel, but it's it made us all laugh as we're sitting here stressed out, waiting for the train to move in front of us to get to a funeral. And so it was just awesome. Great humor for the moment, and I appreciate all you guys do. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
All right.
I did feel good about it when we did it. So.
Well, what do you want from me
here?
Glad,
no, I'm just talking to him. Okay. I'm glad it meant what it meant to you.
Well, he said he and his family laughed. And to be honest, I laughed too.
Sherry's like a goalie who tries to stop all the awesome ideas. And sometimes one gets through.
More than one.
It works.
They need to put me on the bench.
too many flying past the globe. This is a public service, another public service that we offer. It's social tips. And what I like to do is to offer additional value to people who are listening who don't have my social skills.
You've become a social coach, TM.
I have, because mm-hmm. I don't naturally have it, but I've learned how to do this.
And do you have clients?
So what we're going to do here is we're gonna do a little role play. I'll have Sherry. I'll have you be in the role play.
I'm the only one here.
And let's say we're at a dinner party.
Okay, yes.
And so what I want to teach, today's teaching is about...
Teaching, yes!
...is about how you swing the conversation around to something that you can talk about.
Okay.
So you have to subtly swing the conversation to something you already wanted to go there because it's an area of knowledge for you. It's a comfort area.
Sure.
So you swing...
Isn't it better just to go with whatever conversation is happening?
Well, here's how it works.
Yeah, okay.
How you do that. And so you come up to me at like a dinner party. Say you don't know me.
Okay.
And we're at a like a thing where they have a table up front with like baby carrots
yes.
on it or celery.
Okay.
And, okay.
All right. Hey, my name is Sherry. I think I've seen you around.
How are your corneas? You know, the thing about corneas, it's so interesting. Thanks for bringing it up. The thing about it is my corneas don't actually have blood supply. It's the only part of the human body that does not have blood supply.
Oh, my goodness.
It just absorbs the oxygen straight out of the air. That's how my corneas get oxygen. And frankly, if I may be so bold, it's how your corneas get oxygen. Okay, see, that's how...
Rant.
See how... And then I...
That was not a swing.
Do you see how I threw it back into her lap?
That was a violent turn.
So I helped. I swung. Casually,
a violent social turn.
I casually swung the conversation into where I wanted to go, which was, I don't know if you heard of it, it's about corneas. I confess, I wish people would read the book I wrote called Unoffendable, or any of the books.
Yeah.
Go to the library. Don't buy it. I'm not, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Because the culture is just, that's all it's about now.
Yeah.
And it's caught up in self-righteous, which was my point, like the self-righteousness. If you're a Christian believer, you cannot go there in terms of your self-righteousness, which is what it is. I saw this headline. Here's what's fascinating to me. People who want you to be offended. It's one thing on their behalf, on like yourself, but they want to drag you into it. For instance, the headline today is, where did I find it? Doritos insults women everywhere with its latest innovation gone wrong. That's an actual headline in Inc. magazine.
Okay.
So if you're a woman, you may not know what happened.
Right, which I don't.
Okay, well, you need to be insulted by this. The CEO of PepsiCo, who make Doritos,
mm-hmm.
said they came out with these little individual packs
mm-hmm.
for women because guys like when they eat Doritos to lick their fingers.
Yeah.
And then like just to dump it all.
Yeah.
Into their mouth straight from the package. Mm-hmm. And women don't tend to like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the CEO is a woman.
Okay.
But you're supposed to be really angry about that.
Oh, because she was making one that you don't do all of that.
Basically saying
that
guys tend to be messier
mm-hmm.
when it comes to eating than women do. And that's you're supposed to be, in, like,
I'm
this,
supposed to
this
be
insulted
enraged by
you.
Okay.
But I just, forget the issue of Doritos or not, like the idea that they want people who think anger is righteous want you to join with them, and because it fuels them too, and it's something to be aware of.
It's very easy, especially with social media. It's very easy to get caught up in it.
Yeah,
swept up in it.
Yeah, and because it adds justification to their own anger. Mm-hmm. If they can just get you to be like, yeah, mm-hmm. This is not the ethic that Jesus teaches. It's not even close. It's not even close. Like, or the whole Bible about gratitude. Like, you can't be doing both at the same time. You can't be constantly giving thanks and constantly angry. If you don't mind, let's talk about the heart. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and there's a lot of just introspection that comes along with that. And, you know, that's all very... Oh, hang on a second!
Oh!
Sorry.
You're getting... Yeah.
Okay, I've just been handed some breaking animal news. This is breaking animal news. When animal news breaks out, we break in with the animal news that just broke out.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And I'm so glad we have the audio for this.
Oh, some otters.
Okay, okay, this story starts with the words, some otters got together and started doing jazz on an organ. And it's really remarkable. And I'm not making this up.
Where'd they get the organ?
Where do any of us get organs?
From the store.
Okay.
So the otters went to the store.
You wouldn't ask that if I said, here's a guy playing an organ. Where'd he get the organ?
No, I wouldn't, because it's a person and not an otter.
They're sitting there. I want you to know, they're not walking across the keyboard doing this jazz. They're actually sitting and playing with their little front paws. Okay?
Okay.
Listen to this. This is legit jazz. All right? Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can get this. Listen to that. Listen to that.
Grant.
No, they're playing with their little paws. There's four of them. Their little heads in the air.
Yeah.
Listen to that. The tonality. The atonality.
What's all that squeaking?
The timing, the syncopation. They're otters. Listen to that. Did you hear that?
I did. It reminds me.
Really, really good.
My grandma used to have a piano, and we used to do that. And she used to say, shut up all that noise.
I see.
That's what she would say when we did that.
Well, I, as somebody who appreciates jazz, I understand how atonality is used. The riff, the tag, the turnaround. Did you hear the turnaround?
I didn't hear the turnaround. I don't think it ever really turned around.
The turnaround was remarkable. The tonality.
Can you point the turnaround to me?
Right there. The vibe, the groove, the essence, the voicings, the vamp.
Oh, there was a vamp.
There's the vamp. That's so good.
Yeah, I missed it all.
Woo! Don't you love when the news tells you what you think?
That is nice. Thank you, news.
And it's clearly, I'm looking at this headline, it's clearly like, no, this is what you thought, reporter or headline writer.
Right.
The headline is verbatim, reading this. Standing desks aren't the healthy miracle you believe.
Now, you're presuming what I believe.
I'm reading that. Did I think they were a healthy miracle?
Did I tell you they were a healthy miracle?
How did you guys know? And it turns out that standing desks, they help you burn a few more calories, but it's not really a health miracle than having a sitting desk.
Okay.
So I guess that's a shock to us. So how are you going to proceed? I mean, this is a shock.
Well, I never thought it was a miracle.
No, you did. Because the reporters say you believed. And so
thank you, reporter. Yeah,
so we're going to have to process it, reporter. Thanks for telling us. It's a shock to our system, but we're going to see where to go from here, if anywhere. I don't know how people do it. And I'm not saying this to be depressing. Please understand. But, I mean, come on. Be logical. I like logic. I like analysis. I want to be clear thinking. I like reason. But if you don't believe in God, don't you have to think, okay, well, then everything I love at some point will be gone forever. Not just myself. Everything I love, everything I believe in won't matter. I don't know how you get around that. I'm not saying that to be depressing. Versus the idea that, okay, if there is a God and he loves us, he's actually going to restore everything I love and make it happen in a bigger way than I can possibly imagine. Like everything I'm really yearning for, and it turns out we're all yearning for, we didn't start in meaninglessness and we're not headed to meaninglessness. We started because God loves us and he's an artist and we're headed for restoration and redemption. And all the stuff we really want to happen, he's gonna make it happen. At a level we can't even understand. I mean, you get to choose your worldview. I would just say, please do choose wisely. People don't talk about this enough, I think. And that is how we can manipulate our own... we can manipulate our own attitudes toward other people. Like, you can be so frustrated with somebody, but I know how you can change that, if you want. Okay, so our next door guy...
Mm-hmm.
I know he doesn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. My wife would say he is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
He argues with everything
mm-hmm.
all the time. He's an older gentleman. His smoke fills our house from his outdoor stuff or indoor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pungent.
Mm-hmm.
His car alarm goes off at 6 a.m. every morning, 3 times.
Oh, boy.
And he won't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
He piles his trash in front of our house.
Hmm.
Okay.
I can see where that would be frustrating.
Okay, but my wife, who's frustrated by all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Knows he has a heart issue,
mm-hmm.
like a physical heart issue.
Okay.
And so she finds ways to rake up the leaves or take care of stuff outside his house that she knows he can't get to. All this to say, I think that's really neat on behalf of my wife, but I'm not bragging about that. It's like, you know that when you do something like that for somebody, as you're doing it, your heart will start to change towards the person.
Mm-hmm.
Within 30 seconds. I'm not saying all the aggravation goes away,
mm-hmm.
but it's true. We know this. As soon as you start serving somebody, your heart starts to soften. You start to root for that person. It can even just be, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Like it can even be just praying. But it's so wild how we humans have this ability with the people we're the most angry with, most frustrated with. As soon as we start doing what we're told to do, which is to serve even our enemies, our hearts change and we're healthier. I mean, it's like clockwork. Just talking about how remarkable it is. And this is true for you, for me, for everybody, right? As soon as we start serving somebody, no matter how aggravated we are with them, even just praying for somebody, our hearts immediately start softening towards that person. We know that's true.
I know it's true. And many times I haven't done it. And I haven't done it because I know it's true. And I want to hold on to my anger. There's something that feels deceptively comforting to hold on to the anger. And I know if I pray for them, if I serve them, that's going to go away. And I feel, I guess at the end of the day, I feel entitled to it.
We feel entitled to our anger. It's our self-righteousness. I feel like that's the biggest human drive.
Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody would write their doctoral thesis on this. Maybe they have or whatever. But like, it's for... feeling good about ourselves, it's self-righteousness.
So that's why it feels comforting to hold on to the anger.
Oh, man, it feels like it's so hard. Why would it be so hard to pray for somebody?
Mm.
Because it's got to be that. I think you're right. I think it's true for everybody. I think you just had the guts to say it. But I think that's true for everybody. That's why it's excruciating to pray for our enemies. I mean, think about that. And not just to pray for them, you want them to be blessed.
Mm.
God, please bless my... enemy, this person. Whoa, that's super hard. If you drink coffee, perhaps you will be interested in this. I return from my computer with news about coffee.
Okay.
And it's kind of a cautionary tale about the amount that we drink. I think it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The cautionary tale about the amount that we drink is this. We may not be drinking enough.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I read this. It says, most Americans don't drink enough coffee to get the maximum health benefit you need to drink at least 4 to 5 8-ounce cups a day for the decreased risk of common cancers that come with coffee ingestion,
mm-hmm.
For a reduction in the risk of cardiovascular diseases, type 2 diabetes, and Parkinson's, and a lower death rate. I don't believe that for a second.
Okay,
but the first two things...
Now, is there any chance that you picked this study because you yourself drink a lot of coffee?
I do drink what I thought was too much.
But now...
But since this affirms my behavior, I'm going to totally go with it.
And have another cup.
And have another cup and be like, yeah, see? I'm going to go back to something earlier in the show. Maybe you missed this. I don't know. But This is so amazing. I can't get over how beautiful this is. As somebody who appreciates jazz, I played this clip of otters playing an organ. There's four of them.
They're not
using their little front paws.
They're not playing.
Yes, they are.
They're beating on the keys.
They're front. No. Yes. Okay, this is what I wanted to get to because some people, I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you, Sherry. Just because you have a musical background
I
and whatnot.
I do, yes.
So listen to this and tell me.
Are you going to play this again?
Listen to this. This is at a zoo. So somebody, I thought you understood jazz. You don't feel the groove.
There is no groove. And I dare say.
You don't feel that right there. You don't feel that.
No. I feel something, but.
You don't feel that? Listen to that. These are otters playing.
Ramp,
right,
please,
there.
Can we stop? Okay. Do we have to keep
you
listening to this?
Okay. I just want to check.
I don't feel
that.
No. No.
You don't?
No.
Maybe I'll play it again.
Brant, no. Come on.
Man, this makes me feel so old. Maybe you too when you hear about this. Best Buy has announced they're going to stop selling compact discs.
Oh, no.
No more CDs.
That does make me feel old.
I wish they would just, can you just keep one? I mean, I don't even listen to CDs anymore.
I don't either, actually.
But still, I don't like the idea that you would just stop doing it.
Especially as people who remember when the cassette tape stopped.
Yeah.
And then the CD came, and now the CD is stopping.
Yes, I remember thinking I was really cool when I first started, first had a CD player.
And you had the knockoff of the Sony, because none of us could afford the Sony Walkman, but we had the knockoff.
No, my friend Jeff could.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't like those
his
people.
His parents were very successful farmers, and he had a Walkman, and then he had a Discman.
Wow.
I know.
They were successful.
Which you couldn't, I mean, this is a good lesson for the kids, too. Back in the day, when we would go out jogging, if you were able to afford a knockoff Discman or whatever,
yes, mm-hmm.
it would skip,
yes,
with every step, because it needed, the laser would jump. So the music was terrible.
But you had it.
But it was digital.
Yes, it was. And you had it.
And we had it. This is a really handy tip. It doesn't always happen when I'm preparing for the show and I'm reading in the news and they're like, here's some handy advice. I'm like, usually like, eh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But this. Come from a place of service, it says. And what it means by that, if you're nervous about something today, come from a place of service that will help you with your nerves. For instance, you have a big presentation. Think about the audience.
Mm.
How can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to the people who are listening? If you've got a big meeting, how can I serve this team of people? In this moment, in this place, how can I serve this company,
mm-hmm,
these people? Even if you have an interview, go into it, like, instead of being all nervous about it, go into it, think, well, how can I be of service to this company?
That is a good tip.
It is.
Because when I do that, right, it's taking the spotlight off of me and the pressure off of me.
This takes the pressure off. They actually said, too, like Drew Brees had texted something to Nick Foles before the Super Bowl to tell him, and it was just three words.
Mm-hmm.
It was a text, three words, and the three words were really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just football.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Instead of thinking, what about this? What about that? What about, you know, and it's just football. You'll be fine. Again, just put it in perspective. But the best way, they're saying, actually, to put things in perspective is just think, how can I be a blessing to my team? To these people, to whom I'm talking to, even if it's a confrontational thing, how can I be a blessing to that person? It actually takes a lot of the nerves out of it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.